good to have all of you with us today. The Lord bless you all. And I want to say it's good to see Niles and Miss Tanya with us today. They've both been busy working and making some things for the family. And Tanya, your shop is about ready to open, I hear. And Niles, that home is about built. And some wonderful things happening. Welcome to our guest. I don't have names for everybody, but it is so good to have each and every one of you here at Landmark today. You could have been anywhere you wanted to be, by the way, but I'm glad you're here with us. Good to see you back, Sergio. Blessings to you guys. We missed you last week. Well, you guys were just awesome as usual. Thank you for being so faithful and committed to God. You know, it's one thing to have musicians, but it's another one to see commitment and the love for Jesus that these people have, and I so appreciate them. Listen, I want to take you somewhere today for the next few minutes. I want to talk to you just concerning the times when things just didn't turn out the way you thought they should. You had prayed and you waited and you were faithful, and it just didn't turn out right. Then what? So I want to, just for a few minutes here, take you there, and maybe what I'm about to show you will keep you from getting all discouraged and tore up when things don't quite go as you thought they would in the name of Jesus. You've been in the Word, you've been talking to Him, and you're like, what? So I pray that these words will come to help you today. Let's go to John chapter 11, and I'm going to go to a very familiar story here with you, and that always gets us a head start when it's familiar, but then we dig a few more things out of it. Miss Julie, it is good to have you and your family here today and the children. God bless you. Allie, good to see you both. John chapter 11. I just want to thank God again for what He did for you, Mike and Portia. That is, wow. Woo! Portia, he was saying it, and you know, sometimes I will just say what comes to mind. And when Brother Mike was talking, I thought, wow, if you pull that car over like that and you handle that so well, and he's, a cop all of his years, a sheriff, that's a pretty big compliment. And I thought, you must be a four-cow woman. Y'all know what a four-cow woman is? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. I was sitting in the waiting room one day waiting on my mother. She had to go see the doctor, and they had National Geographic magazine sitting there. So I picked up that magazine and was flipping through it and came to this interesting story about this little village, and they were all so poor, and I hope I can tell this. Lord, help me bring it all back to my memory. But it came up when I called you that four-cow woman. So there was this little village, and they were poverty stricken, and this one man and a farmer and his wife, they had their girls were just beautiful, and they had handsome boys, and everybody always bragged on how beautiful their children were. But there was this one girl, and she was the ugly duckling of the bunch. And all the other girls were getting married, the boys were married, and this girl's still at home. And Dad is like, Mom and him, we don't know. We just can't get her married off. We don't know what to do, you know. And they sold their brides, or their brides-to-be. They sold them for cows or goats or, you know, whatever animal they might have on the farm. And so Dad offered her to this one man, it said, for one cow. And he wouldn't even take her. And so the story goes, actually, it was more than four, I think. And so it says one day this young man was in the field, and he showed favor toward her. And he looked at her, and somehow he thought she was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. And the story said that she started carrying herself differently. She didn't even take care of herself as long as she thought she was ugly and the ugliest of the pack and didn't matter to anyone. So she started carrying herself differently, cleaning up all the time, combing her hair, however they combed it in those days, and took care of herself. And it said, it's amazing what happens when you have a little worth. And so this young man came to her dad and said, I've gone to my dad, and he said he would give me 8 cows if you would give me your daughter. And dad said, 8 cows? And he said, I would have given her for 2 cows. But the man gave her those cows, and it changed her life. She went from rags to almost rags to riches just knowing who she was. So I just want to tell you, Portia, that was some good driving, girl. So we'll... Now he'll be calling you an 8-cow woman here. I know how he is. All right. Well, let's go. Okay. So we're talking about when things don't turn out quite like you think that they should. All right, let's go to John chapter 11, and I want to show you this. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, oh, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, for the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In fact, they were his best friends. Many commentaries say that they were some of his best friends. So it says when he heard she was sick, look at verse 6. So you would think that he ran right to him, okay, right out there to their home. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now that just wasn't working out like she thought it should, because she knew the power that Jesus had to do something about this. And so then in verse 7, he said to his disciples, well, let us go to Judea again. Let's go on down to verse 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking the rest in sleep. Finally, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus never called death, death. He never said he's dead. You can read any occurrence, and you'll see Jesus said he's only sleeping. So when our loved ones pass, they just go, their body is just going to get some much-needed sleep, going to get to sleep until Jesus returns for the body. But the Bible also tells us that the righteous in God never die. Their soul never dies. Death cannot kill the spirit. It may kill the body and destroy the body, but it cannot kill the soul or the spirit. So Jesus said, well, verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, I'm going to go to him. Now, I want you to see, look at verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Jesus knew that. Jesus knows everything. There is a word, a Hebrew word, omniscient, which means all-knowing God. He knows everything, okay? So he knew he had been in that tomb for 4 days. He knows how long you've been dealing with this mess, whatever you've been dealing with. Verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, the one who is careful and troubled about many things, She loved Jesus with all of her heart, but she gives him a piece of her mind right here. All right? Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, look what she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And I'm sure she said that with an attitude. I know you have the power within you to do it. You didn't come, so my brother is dead. Now, these two words that I want you to see here, she lost it. I mean, well, and she was devastated. And I know that when we get devastated and we get upset about something and we don't know what to do about it, we may lose it too. And maybe talk to Jesus like, you don't even hear me. I prayed about it, but where were you? It's too late now. That's what she's saying. It's too late, Jesus. You should have been here a little earlier and he wouldn't be in that tomb for 4 days. But verse 22, if you'll grab a hold of this today, I'm telling you, when I saw this on about Thursday, it jumped in my heart. Oh my goodness, look what she said. Now, she just read him off and said all that out of her hurt, out of her grief. But she says, but even now. Somebody say, even now. Say it louder, even now. I know. Look at this. That whatever you ask of God, God will give you. I know that, Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, your brother will rise again. But then she went into something else. Oh, I know he will someday in the resurrection. And then Jesus came back and said, but I am the resurrection. I'm it. Well, I know you are, but. Okay, so she had it right. She had it going on. And then as she's telling him all this, and she's got an even now in her, so now she knows. The talk of the others that heard what she said, see, you've got to be careful what you say because the people around you will begin to talk negative as well. So the other people, if you go down to look at verse 37, what some of the others said. Verse 37, and some of them said, cannot this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? And Jesus is hearing all this stuff. And he's like, I just wish they could have faith in me. The Bible says he wept. One commentary said he was angry. He was just, I love Lazarus. I love the family. And look at verse, and now Martha, she joins back in again. Okay, she had just kind of calmed it all down with, if you'd have been here, my son would have lived. But even now that he's in the grave, I know what you're capable of. And I know you can take care of this. Okay, so she had her even now. But now she's heard all these other people murmuring, he opened the eyes of the blind. He did great miracles. Why didn't he do this? If he would have been here. And now look what she says. Oh boy, would you listen? You and I can relate to this all the way through. Look at verse 39. And Jesus said, take away the stone. He was just probably fed up by this point. So he said, just take away the stone. And now Martha enters in again. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, you know. By this time, there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. She already told him that once. As if he didn't know, he had been dead 4 days, and now she wants to remind him again. And the old King James says, here it says there's a stench in that tomb with him, because he's been dead 4 days. But I think the old King James says, he stinketh. By now, he stinketh. In modern translation, what do you say? This thing stinks. So Somebody just said that to me the other day. This just stinks. I hate this. Of course, you know, when a loved one passes or you've lost your job or, you know, things are not going good at home. The whole thing just stinks. I'm going to tell you right now, you better get up in your heart right now. You better get up in you, as they say, and even now. And even now. It may stink. It may be the biggest mess you've ever seen, and it may be a loss. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows about the tomb. He knows about the 4 days. He knows about the stench. He knows how ugly it is. But look what he said, verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Martha, honey, I told you this. Did he not say in Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you? Did he not say in Ephesians that I will meet all your need according to my riches? Not on earth, but my riches in glory. He said that. He said, did I not tell you? Cast your care upon me because I care for you. Well, it doesn't look like it. You ought to say, you better get this in your heart today. I'm telling you, God is good to give us this word. Okay, I know it's bad, I know it stinks, but you better get it even now. Lord, I know I don't like it the way it is now. It stinks. It's been going on way too long. This is a 2-year-old problem or 10-year-old problem. And I don't see any change. I see nothing. And God, you healed the sick. You healed them. You kept them from the wreck. You healed sister so-and-so and you blessed and gave miracles. I just heard of a woman yesterday. She got up and testified at a women's conference I was at. And she got up and she had stage 4 cancer. And then she got a big tumor right here on her neck. And it was just like this, just huge. And you know, God totally took that thing away in one of the church services. I mean, that thing in a week, it just shriveled up to nothing and it was gone. It looked too late because it had already gone to stage 4. So no one likes that, but I believe that sweet girl had an even now in her. They said, Lord, I don't like this. I don't get it. It's too ugly. Now, Lord, this thing is big. It could be too late now. This thing may kill me. She didn't say that. She said, Lord, I know you've done it for others, but even now, I believe you'll do this for me too. So hallelujah, and you know the story. We're not going to belabor that. But you know that Jesus just said, Lazarus, come forth. And he got up. I mean, he just, when Jesus speaks, he just had to get up. There was no stench. He got up. He was still wrapped in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, unwrap him. And when they unwrapped him, he still had the face napkin over him. He took that off. And Lazarus was as good as new. And you know what? He said, Jesus, come on over to my house for dinner. Because Mary had stayed home and Martha said, Martha will whip us something up. And Jesus went over to the dead man's house for dinner in just a few minutes. Do you know how quickly things can change? Yeah, you know, just like that. When Jesus steps in, he just knows how, hallelujah, to take care of it. So I want us to go over, I want to show you one more thing and then I want us to come to his table. Because there's power up here in this table. Would you go over to Luke 24. Maybe I don't want to read too much. My goodness, these stories of the word, they're just so good. You could read the whole thing. But you read it when you get home. Okay, let me say this before we go on. Some of you have probably seen this so many times you've never noticed it. When you walk out this door and to the left, like you're going to go to the prayer room right beside the Bible, the little gift shop there, you'll see a picture of 2 men. You ever notice that? Huge, big portrait of 2 men. And These are the two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus. That's what I'm going to tell you about now. So you ought to go out there after church and just turn to the left, and you'll see these two men right there. Of course, it's photo, but you're going to love it. You'll see it. All right, so let's look at verse 20. Did I say Luke 24? I don't want to start with, let's go down to 13. I'm sorry, I think I told you verse 1, but let's go to 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day. This is on the day that Jesus got up out of the tomb, and there were reports and gossip, rumors going around that Jesus was not at the tomb. Verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus, look at this, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I mean, they were just minding their own business, walking along, and didn't even know it, and Jesus steps up behind them. And he drew near and went with them, verse 16, but their eyes were restrained. They didn't know it was him. Verse 17, Jesus speaks, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? Look at this. And you are sad. You're sad. I believe Jesus wants me to tell you today, some of you may be sad in your spirit, but he has pulled up close to you and near to you, and he's saying, why are you sad? I'm here. I'm with you. Look at this. Why are you sad? Verse 18, and then one whose name was Cleopas answered, said to him, you know, our answers to him can be so ridiculous. They said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? I mean, that was Jesus. He's out of the grave. They're like, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that don't know what happened? 19, he said to them, what things? Sometimes he just wants to hear you tell him. He knows the answer, but he wants to hear what you think about the answer. He said, oh, what things? And they said, oh, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was, W-A-S, somebody say was. He was a prophet, mightily in deed and word before God and all the people. Okay, haven't you heard how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death? They crucified him. Okay, now here's the words I want you to see. Verse 4, now here's where we get hung up sometimes. Read those four words with me in verse 21. First four words. But we were. Did everyone read that with me or just two of you? Let's read it again, all right? First four words. But we. How many of you said, I prayed and I was hoping. I mean, we were hoping. We were expecting, we trusted. I don't know what happened. We were hoping. I mean, Jesus, they're saying we, you know, he was a prophet. I don't know if they're saying he was, or yes, he really was a prophet. And now they say he's alive. Look at this. Where am I at? Where did I stop? Okay, 21. We were hoping. Yeah, let's read verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And then probably they said, but we guess not. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, yes, yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and they found it just as the women said, but they didn't see him. Okay, they're still not buying it. They got all this gossip. Jesus was walking with them. They were hoping it was him. Now they said he's not in that tomb, but they've never found the body. Okay, I'm going to tell you, the devil will blind your mind. He will put a veil over your eyes. He'll put a veil so we don't hear right, we don't see right, we don't understand right. That's why we came down here earlier to say, I'm gonna let the veil down. I'm going to take this veil. I'm going to take these walls down. We're just going to take them down. And Lord, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to say, Lord, I know even now with all this mess, even now, it may stink at my house. This thing just stinks. But even now, I was hoping, and I don't get it. Why I can't find you anywhere. Job said, I look in front of me. He's not there. I look over here. He's not there. I look over here. I look, but I don't see him. And yet God, Jesus came. God came to him and restored everything. You know, 10 times more animals, 10 times more children. I mean, it was an amazing thing that God did. And when you come to this situation in life, let me tell you, church, look at me, please. It's never too late. It never stinks so bad that God can't stand the stench. And if you were hoping, you better get your hope back. And where are you going to get that hope back? You're going to get it back in even now. Somebody say, even now. Oh, yeah, even now. So what did these people do? Oh, look at this. So finally, Jesus said, oh, you foolish ones. He said, man, the prophets told you everything and you still don't believe. Finally, in verse 28, it said they drew near to the village where they were going. And Jesus was walking with them. All of a sudden, they're just chatting along. And Jesus already told them, oh, Moses and the prophets told you what was going to happen, you foolish men, and you still don't get it. And the Bible said Jesus just walked on. He just said, I'll just leave him alone. All of a sudden, they're like, ooh, maybe we need this stranger in town. And they said, hey, come on back here with us. Look what it says here. Verse 29 says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's evening, and the day is far spent. And so he went in. Look what it says, and he stayed. He stayed with them. He stayed with them. Now it came to pass, look at this. Came to pass, he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Here's the point I'm wanting to get to, verse 31. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And when they did, he just vanished out of their sight. He said, you're all right now. You'll be all right. Your eyes are open. You've got it even now. You came to my table. And verse 32 says, and then they said to one another, did our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, they said there was something going on in our hearts. We knew something was happening. And it says that they took off and went and told everybody that Jesus was alive and they had seen him. Amen? Would you stand on your feet with me today? Hallelujah. It says they arose and went that very hour. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Wonderful Jesus, what we're about to do is the same thing that Cleopas and the other brother did. They were just walking down to the village of Emmaus. And we just came to church today, just came down here to Landmark on the corner of Olive and Westwood. And now, Lord, we're going to come to your table. And just like you met them at the table, you're going to meet us at our Landmark table. It's your table. It's yours. So, Lord, we come with faith. We come believing. And, Lord, all week I have looked forward to this day because I know every time we're in your presence with communion, something happens in us. Reveal yourself to us as we come to your table. Let us leave all the stench, all the hoping, and pick up the even now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come to the table, please, and get the cup of the Lord and quietly take it back to your seats. You could do let the veil down, let the praise go up. Just do that. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let us break bread. Come,
Now, you know what happens when you go to a wedding? Most weddings, they'll pick up a glass and they'll make a toast to the bride and groom. And what are they doing? They're blessing them. They'll take a drink of their juice or their water and they'll bless the bride and groom. Blessing. Then they take a drink. And then sometimes they will click their cups together at the table. And what that is doing is saying, we have fellowship. I have fellowship with you. And they click their glasses together and have fellowship. And so with Jesus, I want to read this to you. And he says to us what this cup is. I want you to pick up your cup. Today we're going to do it backwards. But we're going to drink from the cup first, because the Bible talks about the cup first here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Look at this. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Would somebody say amen? All right, let's read that again. I want you to give a hearty amen right after that. Brother Chris, we'll just stop right here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Yes, it is. And so we come into total communion with his blood. Isn't that the biggest, most powerful, universal thought? I don't even have vocabulary for that. We are coming in to communion. That means fellowship with his perfect blood. I mean, his spotless, perfect blood to cleanse us, to wash us, the stench, the hoping, the hopelessness, all of it, the sin, the addiction, the veils that we put up. His blood is above it all. Would you pick up his beautiful cup of his blood and come into the blessing which we bless, Lord? We bless this cup, just like you said. It is the cup of blessing, and it is your communion. We come into communion, Lord, fellowship with your blood as one in Jesus' name. Let us drink it together. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Could you praise him and thank him for his blood that cleanses and washes the things you couldn't get rid of before? That thought that plays over and over and over in your mind. He said, oh, no, it stops here with my blood. I don't have those kind of thoughts. I don't have that kind of mess in me. So, Lord, we go to the cross this morning. We take your bread. We take the bread. Look at this. Now answer it. Amen. Then look at this, if you believe it. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ himself? Amen. Sure it is. His body is perfect. You say, then why do we get sick? I don't know. We live in a fallen world. But all I know is this bread that we break, Jesus asking, is it not the communion of the body? So now we have his mind. We have his body. His body is not sick. His body is not old. His body is not frail. And the culture, if there's a culture in heaven, it's him, it's his presence, it's who he is, and it's all the healing and all the blessing. So let us pick up his body, Jesus. It looks so simple, Lord, but it cost you everything to bring that same healing and that same fellowship to us. Yes, it is, Lord. I say, yes, it is, yes, it is. Yes, it is the communion of your body. We take your body to bless our body. We are in fellowship with you in Jesus' name. Let us eat the bread together. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and praise him as they begin to sing? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let me tell you something, too, while they're doing that last song you were going to do. I want to say, look, put your faith in what we just did. Now, I've told you this many times, but invariably, people either don't hear it or don't understand it. Let me tell you something. Don't embarrass me, and don't embarrass your brother or your sister when you leave here. Listen, we just came to his table. This is the highest place that we can go on this earth. Amen? This cup is the greatest cup that you'll ever have in your entire life. It's the most powerful. It's the most healing. It is wholeness. It is delivery. And don't you dare ask anyone as you leave this house, please pray for me. Are you serious? I just want to bow my face and get on my face if somebody asks me to pray for them after we just did this. Are you serious? Oh no, this is more powerful than any prayer I can pray over you. Listen, we just did this. We'll pray for you on other days, but not today. I have learned to just make this service the greatest service in my heart. I look forward to it. I wrote to Adriana this week, or actually this morning, I said, Adriana, you're coming to the table of the Lord, honey. You're coming to the table. There's no higher place. So get it right here. Take your little empty cup with you. When he said it's finished, he means it's all done. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. All right, let's sing a song in Jesus' name. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did anyone receive a healing, a miracle, or anything right there during that? Now, if you want to testify, it's only about right now, okay? It's not about last week or any other time. I want us to learn when it happens, we say it. Okay, all right. Today, right now, all right. What happened? Dee, go back there, please. Quickly.
Praise God. Last night I was hurting really bad on my sciatic nerve. It's really hard for me now to get up to go to the restroom on my leg because I have to pivot. And I was laying in bed, and I said, should I go? Or should I go to church? Yesterday I was so active. And I said, I better go. I'm going to go get the healing. And when I came to the altar before you said prayer, and it was a confirmation from the Holy Spirit, because it says he tore the veil down.
Ah, yes, he did.
He tore the veil down. And nothing can stop you for going forward and ask. And I said, Lord, you know my body. You know what I go through every single day. It's not easy. And I don't wish anybody to be in a wheelchair 24/7. But Lord, you know I don't want to go to a convalescent home. I don't want to be bedridden. But I know you can heal me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was when I was there, I don't know, I started and my spine started shaking. That's why I just kept moving my leg. And then like something just snapped into place. Woo. And I don't feel that burning sensation in that part.
Praise God.
But I know if I was like that woman, if I only could touch that veil.
Yes, amen.
So
amen.
I went to the tour curtain that he tore up for us to go to be next to him. And I thank him for my healing of the sciatic nerve.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.